This morning is going to be a bit different, and we're going to just start off jumping right into the preaching, into the Word, and I just really want to encourage us this morning to bring your hearts before the Lord as the Word comes, and from there we'll jump into worship. I believe that the Lord wants to come and shake our hearts this morning, come and move it. So I'm going to give over to Maurice.
As his church, it's been a while. I mean, we had an off weekend, and then was the mains weekend, and then B2G. So I feel like I actually have to introduce myself. Hey, I'm Maurice. For those of you who don't know me, it's good to be back. We had a good off weekend. We had a good mains camp, guys. Where are you? Yeah, very good. And then last Sunday was amazing, just to gather with churches in the valley. I was privileged to pray with a guy that responded to the gospel afterwards. And you could see he was cut to the heart. I was like, it was just like, come on, I need to give my life to Jesus now. Now. I am so moved in my life. And we got to pray for a friend that was hit by a cricket ball and it was critical. And so we prayed for that. I don't know even what happened after that, but it was a divine moment with the Lord to actually, and this guy's not even from Wellington. So he just heard through family and came to the event. And the Lord touched his life. There are many stories like that of what the Lord has done. I know the heat was crazy. Who had sunburn? But suffering for Jesus, no? Hallelujah. So this morning, we're going to start off with a preach, and then we're going to respond in worship. So I want you to fasten your seatbelt, because there will be a moment that I'm saying we're going to respond now, and then you need to jump into it. Okay, all right. So I trust that the Word would prepare us for what the Lord wants to do, and in some way I know that what I will say is not what's going to change our hearts this morning. It's actually very simple. But I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to pray for that right now. And I want to pray that you, even in your heart, steady your heart, to ask Him to come and do that in my life. Because it's only through an encounter with Jesus that this could be real. So Father, I know, I want to come and give these words that I will share right now. And I know, but for what you do, God, they're just words. And I pray, Lord, that you will come and encounter our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord Jesus, that for a moment that we would be able to put our finger on the pause button of every crazy thing that's happening in our lives, Lord, right now. And I pray that we will just pause for a moment and consider where we are at and what are you doing in our lives, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that even that you will take our thoughts captive right now and bring it to the obedience of Christ. I pray, Holy Spirit, that we will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Cause us to fix our eyes and our hearts upon what you want to say this morning. We are yours, Lord. Come and lead us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are currently busy with from Ephesians, we've read through Ephesians, and I've spoken to many people that said like they start Ephesians 1 verse 1 to 3 and then they got stuck there. So I think there's something like even there are portions in the scripture that many people have got stuck with, and there is so much more, and I want to encourage you to go back and read it again. The topic that I was speaking of about today is maturing maturing first love. So we continue in this vein of maturity, and then sometimes we think that love is like, you know, that thing when you were like in love And it's like, and we think that fades away. And then when you get married and you get all comfortable with one another, and then you just functional. You are not really. And I know there are people, couples in here that actually are really in love still, but many of us lose that reason why we actually got married. And I think sometimes in our walk with God also, we think because we mature, we don't have that spark anymore. And I felt the Lord said to me, Morris, I don't want you to come and give them something else to do. I want you to call them to me. I am their first love. Not about do something more, but seeing the first love of who He is. So let's just read through Revelation. I want to use my Bible and not just read it from my tablet, because it's nice to feel the pages. We're going to read about the church in Ephesus from Revelation, and then I'm just going to go from there. It says, chapter 2, verse 1, and the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil. But you've tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise. All right. Let me just grab a sip of water here. So the church in Ephesus was such a beautiful church. The church, how it got together is actually there were a couple that was traveling with Paul. And you can read about this in Acts 18, 19, 20 there. And this couple's name was Priscilla and Aquila. And they were tent makers and they were traveling with Paul. And they were going through Ephesus and Paul left them there. And then Apollos appeared and he was preaching the good news of Jesus there. And so what happened then, Paul came back when Apollos moved on to Corinth and he found 12 believers. So through Priscilla and Aquila and through Apollos preaching, there was 12 believers. So Paul comes and he says, with what baptism have you been baptized? I say, no, John's baptized. No, but you need to be, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And so he said, no, we even not even have heard of the Holy Spirit. So Paul lays hands on these 12 believers and he prays for them. This is in Ephesians. This is in Ephesus. And he lays hands on them and they are filled with the Spirit and they start prophesying and speaking in tongues. And it says for 3 months Paul spent time and he was preaching in the synagogues and he was sharing. And it says he did this until the whole of Asia heard. So what was amazing about this church is, I mean, you can even read, like when you read through the letter of Ephesians, is there's not much correction going on. It's just like love for one another. And one of the things that I found, one of the scriptures in Acts 19, where it speaks about here, when the people were so moved by what God was doing in their midst that it says here in verse 18, it says, as many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices, and the number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver, which is almost $100 million. Like in the New Living Translation says it like that. And so this was a church that was on fire. I mean, we read that Paul, there was miracles happening. People got healed when a handkerchief with Paul laid hand on, just touched them, they got healed and demons came out. It was a church that was alive. And 35 years later, John writes what he saw in this vision. And he writes this that we read now. From a church that was so on fire to a place where he's actually now coming in rebuke. And I want us to look at this Revelation 2. And he says this, John says this, you have done well. This you have done well. In verse 2 to 3, I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. So I know your toil. That word toil means actually to toil to exhaustion. It's like they gave themselves. They hold the line. It says that patient endurance. They were steadfast, just enduring under trials. They were not giving in under trials. They were holding the line. They actually knew how to discern what is right, apostolic, and wrong. And doctrinally, they were strong. I mean, just imagine you had Paul as your lead elder, John, Timothy, and Apollos. These are big hitters that were ministering in Ephesus. So these guys knew the scriptures. And he says, even like these evil, there's also that, I think in verse 6, which says, and even the Nicolaitans you have hated. Now, these guys, there's not a lot written about them, but it seems like they brought in this theology that this clergy and laity, like lording over people's faith. So it was just a weird teaching that Jesus wasn't teaching. So it says like you knew how to hold the line scripturally. But then there comes the big but in Revelation 2, verse 4. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. You held the line. You were a beautiful church. You did amazing. But you have left the love that you have. You have abandoned. Now, I've looked at some of the synonyms. You see, I'm Afrikaans, so sometimes the Lord uses that to bring some humor into my preaching. But you have abandoned, deserted, left, turned your back, dump, ditch, forsake, neglected the love that you had at first. I was no longer first. I became second. It is the devotion to Christ that you so often characterize that in a first love. I ask the question, what is first love? And it is the devotion to Christ that we so often characterize to a new believer, fervent, personal, uninhibited, excited, and openly displayed. And I want to just, on a lighter note, I want to come and bring in a video quickly. It's not very serious, but I thought I want to drop it in here. But because when I was thinking of the terminology of first love, I thought of this song. So when it starts playing now, you'll actually remember. Those that's older, you will remember it. It's from a movie that I watched when I was a kid. There is no mountain so high, there is no ocean too deep that can keep me from His love. Huh? Tristan, no ocean too deep. Huh? I'm getting some people are pointing to Luke. I don't know why, but do you remember when you were in that place of love? And I'm first speaking now of romantic love, and then we'll go to the Lord. Where it's like there was no ocean too deep that you will not swim. And that's why I was thinking of this song. It's like, I mean, the highest mountain you will climb. You will do whatever. I mean, you would do things that you won't do because you're in love. It's just, and I think, like, would you remember, I'm going ahead of myself now, but it was just this word, there's no ocean too deep, there's no valley, or there's no mountain too high that can keep me from His love. And God is saying to the church here, you've left that first love. And then He's giving them a few keys to actually restore this. So what we're going to do now is we're going to look at that. And so I played that song because I'm going to refer back to it a few times. Okay. All right. So first love is hot. It's cold. Cold love is not first love. It is spontaneous. It flows on its own. It's extravagant. It spares nothing and holds nothing back. It's obedient. It's full of joy. It finds everything in the Lord, seeks nothing outside of Him, talks increasingly about the beloved. Do you remember those days where you just can't stop talking about Him? You're just so cut to your heart. Always takes the Lord's side. It's like, God is good. He is faithful. And then verse 5, it says, remember therefore where you have fallen. And then I'm going to use a few R's, okay? The first R is remember. Remember from where you have fallen. Now, that word remember means remember and keep on remembering what you have lost and cultivate a desire to regain the close communion you once had. Consider. And I think this part where God says, consider your ways. Consider where you are. And we're going to remember now. I want you to, and if you have not given your life to Jesus, I'm going to give an opportunity after this preach for you to do. So maybe you have nothing to remember because you haven't experienced, you haven't tasted and seen what it is to actually, when you experience His life. And it's just like there's nothing in this world like it to get to know when your eyes open up to who Jesus is. And we see this in Ephesians 2. It says, do you still remember that you were dead? You were dead, Ephesians 2 verse 1. You were dead in your trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we, by nature, were children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But being rich in mercy, because of His great love, which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. Do you remember that breath? You were dead. And you saw Him for the first time. Your heart breathed. Do you remember that? Have you forgotten? That moment when you saw Him and said, He made me alive right now. I want you to remember that day when you've given your life to Jesus. Remember that. Do you sometimes just think of that day? Have you forgotten? Has it just become about just doing the right thing and being all clever about the Bible? And have you forgotten? God says here, remember. Remember the love that you had at first. You radically turned from the life that you were living. You radically turned from that life. You were going one way, and you turned from that life, and you started serving Him. If we just go through this room, and we just ask, who are you before Jesus? I mean, it would be, it's always amazing. But God, rich in mercy, He made us alive. We breathe breath of life when we responded to that day when He was knocking at our hearts and we said, Jesus, yeah. And so we get so weighed down by the circumstances, the things of this life, and we forget that we actually were made alive. We feel dead, but He has made us alive. Is anybody agreeing with me, huh? Are you, huh? Remember how you just read the Bible for hours, just reading, and you can't get enough. It's like, wow. You just, every page you turn, you see Jesus. And it's just like, and some of the words you don't understand, but you just read over them, and you just keep on reading until you see something that, and like, who of you have read John when you got saved? Like, that's one of the books they say, like, read John, read. And it's just like, how, do you remember that? Do you remember praying and just talking to Him? And just when you're in your room, just, oh, Lord, this is amazing. And you're just talking your heart out. Do you remember times in worship where you were so lost that nothing else mattered? Nothing else mattered. The only thing that is important right now is seeing who Jesus is and just telling Him how amazing He is. Do you still remember? Jesus says, remember, because that's the key. If you forget, Psalm 84 verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Some of us has gone back to the tents of wickedness. He has made us alive. He's brought us out of that. But we actually has gone back to the tents of wickedness. Stay out of that. It's better. Rather be a doorkeeper in His house. But you would actually don't want to be there if you've forgotten how good it is to love Him and to adore Him. 1 John 4 verse 19, I think it says, we can love because He first loved us. Returning to your first love, the one who loved you first. Come to the one who loved you first. When you were dead, God was rich in mercy. He reached out to you. I remember, I'll tell you one of the stories that when I was like hot. I'm still hot, but there was like, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Not that hot, but you're thinking about. All right. Okay, so I remembered as I was thinking of just those times when I was just so burning. I was leading worship at a school. I was doing service here for Christ, and I had to lead worship that evening. And I was sitting behind the curtains, and we were waiting for some of the other team to do some dramas and stuff. And I was sitting there on a chair. And I remember I was sitting there and said, Lord, I will not go out here until I'm completely dead. I don't want anything for me. It's like, Lord, nothing. More of you. Less of me. Make me less. And I think I sat there for as long as it, I mean, I couldn't, I said, Lord, make it. And I was just, I don't want anything of me. I want you. And it was just praying that prayer the whole time and sitting on that chair, looking at a wall and just, God, I don't want to go out here. And this was high school kids leading worship there. And I was like, God, I want less of me and more of you. And I was sitting there, God, I don't want to go out here and be Morris. I want you to come and take. And one that evening, the presence of the Lord was so tangible in that room. And I will never forget it. It was so tangible. It was, and I remember that first love is the type of love that's like, Lord, nothing of me and more of you. I want nothing. That's the type of love that's like, God, I need to be dead and you need to live. I remember moments like that, sitting on my bed, reading my Bible. One time, I encountered the Lord so that my awesome was uitgeslaan. I couldn't breathe. I felt His presence so heavily when He spoke to me about a relationship that I was in that is not from God. He spoke to me as loud that I actually, iemand jou tackle nie, wind is uit. I couldn't, that my wind was uit. And I was like, I knew that the Lord was in the room. Or the other time when I was praying, the evening I was staying here in Bergendal, in a bachelor's flat, and I said, Lord, please, if you want me to go to prayer meeting tomorrow morning, please wake me up. And so I went to bed, and I must be honest, I don't think I was really keen to go, because otherwise I would have just gone. I didn't ask Him, Lord, wake me up. I remember like that morning waking up and feeling a tapping on my shoulder. Now, I'm alone in that room. There's nobody else. Tapping on my shoulder, and I'm like, no, what is this? This is another tap. And then suddenly it felt like somebody was taking my shoulders and doing this. And it's okay, I'm up. I got up and I went to prayer meeting. And from that day, I never asked the Lord, should I go to prayer meeting? I just go. If that thought comes, I just go. But I remember those moments where I asked the Lord, and He does something like that in your life. And if we just go through this room, you will tell these stories. But the thing is, we forget these things. And God is saying this morning, remember. The first R. The second one He's saying in five. The second one is repent. So don't just remember, but repent. So it's not just good enough to think of those days and like, yeah, it was those were the days. Now we are all grown up and mature and. How can we become so mature that we don't love Jesus? That's not the right maturity. We're missing it. That's not mature. Because the love that is our first love will mature and it will grow stronger. Like a real godly marriage. It's like good wine. It just gets better over time. It just gets better over time. He says, do a 180 turnaround. But changing your mind, changing your thinking, changing your action, do a 180. When we were in Bible school, they told us like you were going there and you do a omkeer for those in the army. Omkeer. Okay. I can't hear the Duny Derek. I'm going to from it. We did cadeta at school, but nothing of war stories from my side. But there's an omkeer. It's like you were going in this direction and you were neglecting, you were leaving, you're abandoning your first love, and God says, and you this conviction today, and you repenting, you say, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me, Lord. I don't want to be so mature that I don't love you first, that I've put you second in my life, or third or fourth. For many of us, the Lord is not even second, He's third, fourth, sixth, seven. The Lord is first. Seek Him first. There's no one like Him. What are the things that we need to turn from? Busyness. Some of us are preparing for a landing and to end this year, but it looks like it's going to be a crash landing. It's going to be like, it's a and it's like this year's been busy. There's a lot of things that just like. And I felt like even in that, in this, that if we see Him first, it will be smooth. Even in the busyness, if we can find His love first. We need to repent of neglect, spending time in the Word, praying. Not because, because that's what you have to do, But because you love him, your love is growing stronger. You want to spend time in his presence. And you know, if I say this, some of us, you would, if you look at your heart, you say, but that's not how my heart is burning. I say, but then you need to cry out to God today to touch your heart. You need to cry out, say, Lord, I need you. I don't just want to pray over a prayer of repentance. I need you to step in into my life. Distractions. Some of us, we're not getting to our first love because we're so distracted by important things, but we are distracted. One of the things that we are distracted with is this. We did a podcast this week on just the effect that phones have on adults, not just kids. I mean, we know for kids it's like, don't do that, but for adults. These things are designed to grab your attention. It doesn't want you to read your Bible. Yes, but I'm reading my Bible on my phone. But while you're reading on your phone, there's a message that comes through. Ah, let's check that message quickly. Okay, let's get back to our first love. No, if it was your first love, you won't open that message. You won't even open this phone. You would read the pages. I've started to do my devotions out of my Bible. It doesn't send me notifications. I only get notifications from the Holy Spirit. Open your Bibles. Read them. Read them over and over. Netflix, Showmax. You know, when you watch that series, they've designed it to end in a way that you just have to watch the next one. Because if I don't know what's going to happen. So they give you the sense of FOMO. You're missing out if you don't know. Then you watch the next episode, and then they leave you with another question mark. And then they have that little timer, like, click on it. You've got 15 seconds. So they want you to click on that thing, and then you were only planning to watch one. And then you see that timer is like, okay. Okay, just one more. 3 hours later, we've put the Lord second. And I've done that. Like, wasted time. Mindless scrolling on Facebook. Checking our likes. What about sitting in His presence and feeling His presence? That like. that presence of Jesus where you don't have to put up your best photo. You don't have to put your best side so that people can like you. He loves you. He's your first love. One of the things that I saw, like, nobody gets addicted to Word, Microsoft Word. So phones are functional. I mean, I use it. I'm preaching from a tablet. So it's not, I'm not going to condemn. I'm just saying these things are designed to grab our attention. And if it's luring us away from our first love, then we need to turn. We need to make serious decisions in loving Him first. There's a condition called, I'm going to try and announce this, ahodania. It's emotional numbness. It's what you get when you have watched so much dopamine, you got so much dopamine in by watching your social media feeds, and so your brain's got this pleasure center. So every time when you scroll through Facebook, it gives a hit, and there's almost like a drug. You get this dopamine hit, and then it gets stronger and stronger until it builds this wall, and then you have to do more and more and more, and to get that experience or see how many likes you can get. And then they say this wall gets maxed out. It gets maxed out to the point that nothing. And I think many of us sit in the presence of the Lord. We are numb. We are maxed out. And the Lord tries to speak to us. But we're in this condition of burnout. Many times people say, I don't connect with God. Maybe just put away your phone for a bit. I'm sharing this because I'm convicted. I'm convicted, and I don't have Facebook on my phone. I sometimes, you know what I do is like, I have Facebook on, I'll go on my browser so that I don't have it access. So then I just want to go and see what Andrew is saying. 20 minutes later. what did Andrew say now? It's that thing is there to grab your attention. You think like you're going to do this one thing, and that's why it's there. It's a distraction. It's there to steal of your time. A.W. Tozer said this, God will take 9 steps towards us, but he will not take the 10th. He will incline us to repent, but he cannot do our repenting for us. I just want to check my time here. There are other things that are distracting us, and we need to turn from that. Some are sin, some are things, unforgiveness. You're so offended that you cannot spend time with Jesus. I mean, I can go on. Just remember what it can be like. Then consider the things in your life that you need to turn from today. And then the third R is repeat. Of do. Do the things that you've done at first. So remember what you have, that amazing spirit, getting lost in the presence of Jesus. Repent of it, and then repeat. Do the things that you have done at first. Get into the Word. Get into His, and you know, we can sit here and feel all condemned and condemn ourselves. Oh, I'm bad because this is a loss, but I'm bully, and I'm not getting it right. Or you can just enter His presence. Come before His throne room and say, Lord, I need to change some things. Please forgive me. I want to be in Your presence. You are my first love. So repeat these things. And I'm not going to spend much time on that one. Psalm 63 verse 1 to 11. Oh God, You are my God. I earnestly search for You. My soul thirsts for You. My whole body longs for You. In this parched and weary land where there is no water. I've seen You in Your sanctuary and gazed upon You in the power of Your glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise You. I praise You as long as I live, lifting up my hands to You in prayers. You satisfy me more than a rich feast. I'll praise You with songs of joy. And you get into these Psalms and you see David just like, God, You are my everything. You are everything. The fourth R, if we continue to read, I think verse 6. No? Verse 5. If you don't do this, if you don't remember, repent, and repeat. This is scary. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Lampstand is what brings light. And actually what resembles that they were a church. So actually we'll remove the very fact that you were a church. Now if you go and read up about the church in Ephesus today, it's just a heap of rocks. The only reason why Ephesus is remembered is because of John that spent the last days of his life there. It wasn't about this church. So, did they get this message? I don't know. But we can get this message. This church name, before we joined with Josh Chen, was First Love Church. And when I joined as a student 20 plus years ago, I was like, wow, that's a cool name. It's our first love. And then later on, I spoke to the guy with blonde church. He said, we got this as a warning that we will not lose our first love. And even though we are Josh Jen Wellington AM, I believe that word was given to us many years ago to remind us that we will not move away from our first love. God has given us this as a reminder to stay hot, to stay passionately in love with Jesus and everything that we will follow Him. And this is not just for Wellington. I think it's for all of us. This is all churches all over us are experiencing the same challenges, things that want to grab your attention. A maturing love is not a love that loses the wonder the longer we walk with God. It just gets stronger. That's what a maturing love is. The church that loses its love will soon lose its light, no matter how doctrinally sound it may be. We can hold the line, we can do all these things, but we need to stay close to Him. Don't let this time of the year rob you of most amazing time in the presence of Jesus. Don't let what you are going through rob you. Some of us are going through very difficult things. Stay close to Jesus. With my God, I can scale a wall. What's that psalm? Huh? Stay with Him. Then verse 7, and I'm going to close with this. Are you still there? You're either convicted or sleeping, but I'm finishing now. Okay. I want to finish with this. In verse 7 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So it says he, not the church. He says individuals. So individuals that will be able to hear today. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. If you overcome by remembering and repenting and repeating, if you do this, I will let you be in my presence, where you will eat, and there will be a special communion and a life that will be with you as you do this. There awaits this amazing reward for us if we do this. The one who conquers the temptation to push Christ to the second place will be granted to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. The tree of life was a special tree in the Garden of Eden, and here it represents a special level of intimacy with God in heaven. All believers will go to heaven, but those who do not lose passion for Christ in His life will experience a special place of intimacy with their Lord. There's something of a special intimacy with the Lord that comes with those that overcomes. And I want to call us to overcoming. Can I do that? So just where you are, just close your eyes. We're just going to respond right now. And when I say remember, don't remember and get all condemned and beat yourself up. When I say remember, I say remember the things that the Lord has done. Remember those times in His presence, that longing. It's like, earnestly I seek You. Lord, one thing I ask, this I will seek, to dwell in Your presence. So we're going to respond in a moment in worship. So I want you just to think and consider your ways. Consider. And if there are things that you need to repent of, do that just where you are. Jesus is so amazing, so good, so loving, so gracious. He's rich in mercy. He will forgive us. But before we do that, there might be somebody here today that do not know Jesus. You haven't even experienced your first love. If I have an ice cream here and I was like, "This, how does this ice cream taste?" And you would tell me it's creamy, it's maybe if it's got a chocolate covering, it's chocolate and it's sweet. But with those descriptions, I won't be able to say how an ice cream tastes until I actually come and take a bite. And you can hear sermon upon sermon about who God is. But until you come in and say, "Lord, I am tired of living the life that I've lived. I repent. I turn from my sins. I want to make a decision to follow you," as that song, "I will follow you. There is no mountain too high. There is no ocean too deep. I want to follow you, Jesus. True love, you be my true love." And then there's a scripture in Revelation 3 which says, like, God stands at the door and he knocks. And he's writing this to a church. And he says, "I'm knocking. Will you open up for me?" And I believe even for an unbeliever, he's knocking this morning. If you do not know Jesus, he's knocking at your heart. And it's not good enough just to know about God. I knew about God. I was a very good person going to hell. I had to come to a point where I realized that I'm a sinner. And that it's only him that can forgive me if I confess him as Lord and confess my sins before him. And he comes into my life and he's my Lord and my Savior. So I don't want to move on. If there's somebody here today that do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, and I want to give an opportunity for you, while all of our eyes are closed, for you just to slip up your hand. You know if there's a knocking on your heart. I want you just to slip up your hand and we want to pray with you. If you know that Jesus is speaking to you, there's one hand. Just keep it up. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? You know that knocking. You know, Moses is speaking about this first love, but I've not even tasted it yet. There's no place to come to actually say, "Jesus, I'm sorry. Will you come into my life? This is your moment. Don't let this moment go by. You can walk it out of here and it could be your last day." One more opportunity if you're here. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Taylin, can you and some of them come back also, please?
Hey, everyone. Whew. Yeah, okay, so I had a couple of revelations of my own this last month. Ephesus is an amazing book. And the one thing that hit me, like, every single time I read something was that Paul was in jail when this happened. And he'd never lost his focus. And you don't see anything anywhere in Ephesus or Galatians or any of the other books that he wrote in the same time that he was in jail, that he says, "How am I going to get out of this?" or writing a book for someone or a letter for someone to try and get him out of this or nothing. He didn't care. He had one job to do, and that was to spread the word of God and to spread the word of Jesus and to tell other people how amazing Jesus is. And I kept on saying to the Lord, "What on earth did you say to him in those 3 days that he was blind?" Because it was 25 years later, and he was still on fire for the Lord. And, I'm a big crier. And the Lord said to me, "What do I need to do with you to get you there?" And it came. The funny thing is, it came back to Ephesus 1 verse 1, where Paul introduces himself to the gemeente van Ephesus. And he says, this is who he is. And then he says, this is who you are. And he says, you are faithful and you are loyal and you are steadfast. And I got stuck with the word faithful. And the word faithful between means continuously. It's the result that you have from continuously being filled with faith. And then I went to go look up the word for faith. And faith, the meaning for that that they give into the explanation for that is the when you allow the Lord to persuade you of His will and His truth when you are yielded. So yeah, answer for me is submit, be obedient.
So what does the Lord need to do to get a hold of you that you will burn, that your love will be so maturing, ever maturing, that it will not be a love that grows cold, that on a daily basis that we would remember, on a daily basis that we would repent, on a daily basis we will repeat. That's all we need to do. Daily we need to just come to Him and say that we need Him. It's by faith. It's by faith that we can do this. There is no Netflix or Showmax. Then keep me away from your love. There's no busyness that can keep me away from your love. There's no struggle or unforgiveness or sin that can keep me away. I'll follow. And where you lead, I'll go, Lord. You'll be my first love. Can we, if you just want to just say, Lord, be my first love, and just come to Him this morning and say, God, you are first, and just in a response, I want you to stand with me together. And even this call is, even if you have served Jesus before and you've gone away from Him this morning, or you have walked away from Him, and to come back to Him this morning, come back to Him this morning. Lord Jesus, you are our first love. Lord, forgive us where we have placed you second or third or fourth in our lives, Lord. We want to repent. We want to first remember this morning of just the beauty of what it is to be on fire and in love with you, Jesus. And we want to repent of those things that of neglect, of distractions, of even where we allowed our phones to, or whatever we get in, gaming and pornography and things that are actually luring us away from this sweet devotion, the simple devotion to Christ. Lord, we want to say sorry. Would you come and draw us in? Draw us in, Lord. Help us to daily keep remembering and keep on remembering, God. I pray that no one will feel condemned. I pray that if there's conviction, that we will repent. That times of refreshing may come in your presence, Lord. That we can repeat what it means to love you first, Lord. Lord, let it not be that the memory of this church many years from now would just be a heap of rocks. Let the memory be about a church that loves you first. In everything, God. Like you can you can take everything, but you can't take our love for Jesus. You can't take our love for Jesus. We will love you first, Lord. Come and set a fire in our hearts right now. Come and cause a flame to burn that will not grow cold by the circumstances and the things of this world, Lord. Oh Lord, we come to you. We run to you. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Just, we're going to respond now and just worship God. And I don't